everyone. I'd like to call the September 9th, 2019 study session of the University City Council to order, and would like to turn the program over to the city manager.
Honorable Mayor and Council, tonight this item asks you to hear a presentation from Trivers on their findings from the police annex study. Ms. Amy Gilbertson is going to be the lead on this project and will do the presentation. And so I will turn things over to Amy and allow her to introduce her team. Yes.
This work for short people? Hi, everyone. So I'm Amy Gilbertson. I'm a principal at Trivers. And so we've been working with University City over the past several months, studying the City Hall Annex building, and really trying to look at it in a lot of detail, look at it from a historic rehabilitation standpoint, look at it from a reuse standpoint, look at it from its place within the city. And so tonight we're just going to give a really high-level summary of our findings, and then we thought we would just answer any questions because we do have a lot of information and a lot of detail, but I know not everyone wants to hear all the details. So I am here with Bob Schwartz from HOK. So Bob was our justice consultant on this project, and so they brought the expertise into the police programming, which was the department that we decided to study in terms of a fit study for the annex building. And then we also have Bill Witz, who worked on the environmental hazardous materials side of our study. And so he's going to talk about those two slides. Bob will talk about the programming slides, and I'll go through the overview. And you can stop me while I'm going to if you have questions. So this is a little hard to read. I think you have it in your packets, but the first thing we wanted to do was give a really big overview of the annex and its place in the history of University City. So originally, you can see in the top left corner, it was a more of a conservatory-style architecture, and it was built as the press annex to the City Hall building, which was the publishing building. And then the next image down in your lower left part of your screen or your page, this is when the architects decided to reclad the building and redesign it to be more in keeping with the City Hall building itself. And so after that, you can see does this thing point? Right here. And this was the finished result of that. So it originally had 13 bays. As you probably know, it only has 5 right now. It looks quite a bit shorter. And that's the result of a fire that happened in this era. So once the building was done, it opened up a second floor where it was a lot of open workspace. There's clear stories that are still there, but they've been covered up. So it was really nice workspace. And then right here between, I think it's right between 1930 and 1940 is when the police department and the fire department moved into the building. And so at that point, there were some additional modifications to the building to accommodate the fire truck doors, and it remains as you see it today. But the building is part of the city, hopefully I say this right, the City Hall Plaza Historic District. And so it is one of 4 contributing buildings to that district. It does still have a lot of remaining historic fabric intact. Definitely some modifications to the exterior, but we have a lot of information about how it was originally built. On the interior, nothing really historically significant. The stairwell, the lobby, some of those places, and that original sort of block of a building, you can still see that inside with some of the walls. So I'll move on. So our project goals for this project as a team were to, one, study the building and find out, can it be reused? Could something be done with it? And then to understand, what are the issues? How much would it cost to fix them? And also to test fit the police department to see if this building would be a good fit for their needs. So again, our team included Trivers as the lead historic architect and lead architect. We partnered with HOK for justice programming. We worked with Brick Partnership to study the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing in the building, which mostly needs to be redone. KPFF was our structural engineer, and they do a lot of work with historic buildings as well. And then, as I said, environmental operations studied the hazardous materials. You want to come talk about these two?
Yeah. Again, my name is Bill Witz. I'm with Environmental Operations. We performed an asbestos inspection of the building, as well as miscellaneous regulated materials such as bulbs and ballasts, things that have to be removed and disposed of properly when a building is renovated such as this. There was another study done by another company, PSI, a year or two ago that studied mold issues in the building. The results of both of those studies are summarized here. So in your packet, there are floor plans that show the locations of the asbestos-containing materials. And I'm not going to go through this in any great detail, but there's about 10,000 square feet of floor tile in that building. That's all asbestos. So floor tile and the adhesives, that the mastics that it make that adhere to the floor. There's also about 28,000 square feet of drywall and joint compound down there. So there's quite a bit of material that is asbestos containing. Any of that material, if it's going to be disturbed during the renovation activities, will have to be managed as asbestos-containing material, which means asbestos-certified workers, air monitoring, containment of the areas that are being worked in, and that all has to be removed before your demolition activities and your construction activities can take place. These are the drawings that accompanied the mold inspection. And again, these are very helpful. They show for every of the four floors in the building where water damage was seen, where mold was observed. And that's what we're looking for when we're looking at doing a mold study is, one, where's the water? Because where there's water, there's going to be mold if there's not already. And where's the actual mold, the visible mold? Now, as we discussed in the previous meeting, mold is a little bit different animal than asbestos. Much of this mold can be taken out during the asbestos abatement work or while you're tearing out walls and ceilings getting ready for the renovation work. So a lot of this interior demolition that would take place in a renovation project like this will get a lot of that mold out. It's not a regulated waste, so it doesn't add a whole lot of cost on the front end during the renovation activities. Once a building is cleared, I shouldn't say cleared, once the interior demolition of a building is completed, then you can go back in and say, okay, now we can see the structural components, we can see the studs, we can see the subfloors, we can see the rafters, and have a better idea what remains in terms of mold issues in the building once we've removed all those other building components.